Over the years, we've returned repeatedly to what gets into medical journals and how clinical research is represented or misrepresented there. But at least as important is what does not get into medical journals, the results of thousands of clinical trials that never see the light of day, mainly because pharma doesn't like to advertise its failures. If science falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, does it permit other scientists and physicians to make informed judgments? Rhetorical question. Yet at least one study suggests that half of American clinical trials are never made public. This is the backdrop of a renewed plea from the World Health Organization this month, urging doctors worldwide to fulfill their ethical obligations to publish all their findings. Ben Goldacre is a physician and journalist and co-founder of All Trials, a group dedicated to that very goal. We asked him for a recent example of a transparency fail.
Well, I suppose the poster child for trials transparency recently has been Tamiflu. So this is a drug made by Roche. The UK government spent about £500 million stockpiling it in 1 year alone. The American government have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on it. Many of the clinical trials which were conducted weren't made available to doctors, researchers, and patients. We now know that we were misled about its effectiveness. Now, it's important to be absolutely clear here that Roche broke no laws at all. And that is the problem. What we have here is a strange cultural blind spot in medicine. We don't see withholding whole studies as research misconduct in the same way that we would view, for example, deleting individual data points from within one individual study.
A huge part of the information ecosystem is the medical journal, which medicine and public health experts have relied on for, I guess, close to a couple of centuries. Why have these publications ceased to be sufficient arbiters of success and failure and newsworthy and marginal?
It turns out that actually, and this may sound strange, academic journals are pretty bad places to report the results of scientific research. They miss out a lot of important information on adverse events, the nuts and bolts of how the trial was conducted, if it really was a fair test, or if it was flawed by design. So when we say we need the results of clinical trials to be made available, I think we probably don't even really mean in an academic journal article anymore. I think there are much better places to report those trials.
And turns out we have the technology for that. The internet.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So clinicaltrials.gov was initially set up as a register of trials in progress. And the idea is you force people to register the trials that they're doing, and then you've got something to go and compare what's missing, what have people done but not reported. Now, clinicaltrials.gov has now developed a feature where people can report the results of their clinical trials straight onto that database with absolutely no delay. And crucially, it's very difficult to misreport your trial on clinicaltrials.gov because there's not really a lot of room for narrativizing or waffling or reanalyzing your data in a more flattering way. There's just a box where you have to put the result, and you either put it there or you don't. We now know from published research that the completeness of reporting on clinicaltrials.gov is actually much better than for when trials are reported in academic journals. Now, that's really important because it knocks the legs out from one of the, I think, rather spurious objections that researchers and drug companies make against campaigners like me, which is they say, well, it's not our fault because when we have an unflattering result or a negative result, academic journals aren't interested in publishing it. Well, actually, I'm not interested in you publishing it in an academic journal anymore. I think it needs to be reported first and foremost, I would say, onto clinicaltrials.gov.
As we observed earlier, you are not new to this agitation game. We have come a long way, and clinicaltrials.gov is exhibit A. Where are we now? Who is able to avoid this basic mandate of the Food and Drug Administration?
Well, pretty much everybody right now. The FDA has a law called the FDA Amendment Act 2007, and the FDA is allowed to impose a $10,000 a day fine on people who fail to report the clinical trials that they've conducted. No such fine has ever been imposed. And actually, to be honest, although $3.65 million a year would obviously be quite a lot for you or I, that is a parking ticket to a major drug company or a major institution even.
Here, I guess we have to explain that the publishing of clinical data is a two-part process. First, you register your trial and then publish the result. And there's a huge gap between those trials that are registered and those which are followed up by the publication of the full result.
That's absolutely right. So when in the 1980s we realized that the results of trials were being routinely withheld, the first thing everybody campaigned for was a registry. This is the clinical trial that I'm going to run. This is how many people, these are the drugs I'm testing, these are the outcomes I'm measuring. And the idea was that then people would never again withhold the results of their clinical trials because it would be too embarrassing. But it's nobody's job to go through and say, hey, this one's published its results, but this one is still hiding its results. Now, you could say that that should be the job of regulators, but since they failed to do that, the case that I made this week in the academic journal PLOS Medicine was that doctors and payers, health services around the world, should take this matter into their own hands. We need to set up routine ongoing audits. We can then very quickly and easily start to say the following drug companies, the following funding bodies, the following institutions are the best and the worst for withholding the results of clinical trials. We can also say the following drugs are the best and the worst for missing data. And that's really important because if there are two apparently effective treatments, the clinically cautious thing for a doctor like me to do is to prescribe the drug where you can trust the evidence more. But also, finally, we can say which researchers are the worst for failing to share the results of clinical trials. When a researcher goes back to a committee and says, I'd like to conduct a clinical trial, please give me access to 700 patients in this hospital district, the administrators reviewing that application should be able to say, no, you're not allowed to touch any more patients until you share the results of the clinical trials that you've already finished.
You have lately gotten a pretty hefty ally in all of this. The World Health Organization weighed in on the subject of incomplete data.
Yeah, what's been really great about the WHO announcement is that they've said we also need the results of clinical trials from the past, the trials on the drugs that we're using right now today. When you talk to industry today, they say, well, maybe we can be more transparent from now, but you've got to understand it's going to be very difficult for us to go back and get trials from 5, 10 or 15 years ago. Even after the time at which they promised they were fixing this problem, they were continuing to lose, shred, mislay, often very important information that would really inform patient care. They've been lucky for 30 years that because this issue is a little bit technical, a little bit boring, it's protected from popular scrutiny by a kind of force field of its own tediousness. That's what I think we're going to have to fight through with things like the All Trials campaign.
Ben, thank you so much.
Thanks, Chief.
Ben Goldacre is a physician and journalist and co-founder of alltrials.net, a group dedicated to transparency in clinical research.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.